Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, July 16th, 2025, called to order at 12:01 p.m. Could we go ahead and have roll call? Just give me 1 second. I'm going to get my clipboard ready. Okay, I'm all set.
All right. Alice and Doggy?
Here.
Andrew and Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Gary, are you here?
Yeah, he's here. You just have to hit star 6, Gary. I'll get back to him. Helen Erickson?
Here.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Can you hear me out?
Yes, I can hear you, Gary. Thank you. Joel Ireland?
Here.
Perfect. Julie Rigoli?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Kathy Kubish? She's absent. Amado Trejo?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Grady?
Here.
Julie Rigoli? I'm sorry. My apologies. Terry Majewski?
Here.
And Tim Haggard. No, Tim? All right.
No, I think he had said he was tentative.
I have 15.
Perfect. Okay, because we hadn't counted Joel, and now we have Joel.
Yes. Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Item 2 is land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, would you be able to do that for us?
Yeah, I've got that. On behalf of the residents of the city of Tucson, the city of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Good. Thank you very much. Item 3 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 6/11/25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
Go up with some more informative details.
Yeah, I'll move to approve.
And who was that?
Mauro.
Okay, thank you, Mauro. Okay, and who will second?
This is Blake. I will second.
Thank you. So it's been moved by Mauro Trejo and seconded by Blake Houghton. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and do roll call. But if folks are not speaking, could you mute your microphone so we don't have that noise in the background? So, okay, go ahead and call roll, please.
Alice and Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher? Was that an aye? Okay, I think I heard. Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Motion passes 15-0.
Great, thank you. Item four is chairperson's summary of current events. And things have been busy with various things going on. I did want to mention that I asked Carla to forward a couple things to you about upcoming events. So please check your email. One of them has a slight duplication, but there's additional things. The one that was forwarded to you from the Presidio has a link to the website that our event subcommittee, thanks to Ricky Riojas, has created some time ago, and it has lots of events that are coming up for Tucson's 250th. So I encourage you to check that periodically to see what's out there to attend and so forth. And we'll report more on the 250th celebration for Tucson later on in the agenda. Okay. So item five is recently posted subcommittee LARs and minutes. Again, there's a link to see all the things that have been recently posted if you want to keep up with different subcommittee activities. Item six is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I just want to mention, Commissioner Ireland, you, I'm glad you're on today because I wanted to ask you this. We know that you've been unable to attend a lot of the plans review subcommittee meetings recently, and I just wanted to ask you if you, I had emailed you about that this morning. I don't know if you saw that. But will you be able to consistently attend meetings going forward? You're on mute, Joel.
Yes, I apologize. Yeah, I've been meaning to call. I've been very ill, but I'm back on board, so I will be consistent in all the meetings.
Yeah. Okay, because it's a real concern for the quorum, and you know how
right.
It is. Sometimes we have to have refusal. So we will keep you on, but if any time you need to be off for a period or something like that, please communicate with me, and I'm glad to see you on today's meeting.
Yeah, and I'll give you a call later today or first thing tomorrow, okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me. All right, thank you. Item seven is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. We'll begin under item 7A with City of Tucson. Desiree.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you, Chair Majewski. So we do have some updates. First, I'll start with our staffing updates. Jason Lilienthal will be starting Monday as our new historic preservation lead planner, joining Michael and our team. We're also currently in recruitment for a cultural resources compliance manager. So we've completed interviews and are moving forward in that process. A couple projects that might be of interest to folks, the Fox Theater expansion related demolition application went to PRS on June 26th and will be coming back to PRS on August 14th. The Wilshire Heights Historic District was just listed in the National Register on July 8th, and there's another National Register nomination for the Jostler Lower Pebble House going to the Historic Sites Review Committee, the CHPO's meeting on July 25th. And then I'll just close by saying we have two staff members from PDSD, Dan Bursuk and Nicholas Martel, who are here and will be presenting on the middle housing policy a little bit later.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions for Desiree? Let me see if, okay, I want to be sure that I get any hands that are raised. I need to do something else here. Okay, that's better. All right, thank you. 7B is Pima County. Courtney, are you reporting today?
I am. Thank you, Chair Majewski. I am here with Scott O'Mack today. And good afternoon, everyone. Let's see what I would like to report on first. I thought I would mention that, so as you all know, I do all the reviews for Pima County Private Development. I review everything that comes in that's a little bit That's over a little bit under half an acre. So that's hundreds of project reviews just for private development alone each year. And at a pre-application rezoning meeting this morning, the accessory dwelling unit that Arizona State legislature recently passed HB 2720 to allow for accessory dwelling units on private property. I don't have a lot of information on that right now, but so I asked Development Services just this morning about it, and we do not have ADUs currently in our zoning code. We do have guest houses, but those are for family or for non-paying guests only. And they have certain restrictions. And so Development Services Department is going to embark on doing a text code amendment for ADUs. And I just asked to be part of that process. So I'll be reviewing and commenting, editing that text code amendment prior to it going out to stakeholders. They want to have it ready by August, actually, to go out to stakeholders. And then they are looking at Planning and Zoning Commission review in September. So I just thought I would mention that. I don't know if anyone has any comments that you would like me to consider at this time, but I'll bring back more information, probably prior to the next, commission meeting.
Right. Courtney, I just wanted to mention that, so when this came down and this, we had asked the city how they were going to deal with it, but I think it would be good to get clarification from Dan and Corn and Desiree, because we're still, to my knowledge, reviewing those under PRS because we can still comment on parts of it. Is that correct, Dan and Desiree? Because we were very concerned about that, and I don't know if we haven't done any code changes on the city side, correct?
So we went through and made changes related to accessory dwelling units last year at some point to come into conformance with the state law. The way we interpreted it was that it could still go through HPZ review. There were a few issues that like you had to have same regulations for the ADU as the primary structure. So instead of reviewing it based on just other accessory units, you would be looking at the primary structures within the development zone. So it caused a little bit of, you know, you have to look at it a little differently, but we interpreted it in the way that you could still do a historic preservation zone review, and that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, in terms of, like,
design guidelines, compatibility, all that stuff, yeah.
Right. And so, Courtney, I would suggest that you discuss with them, because you don't have the same situation in the county with with HPZs, and how can that be? And it could be nightmarish. You know, and if there's any reason that you want to have a stakeholder meeting with commissioners, particularly ones that are appointed by the county or people from PRS, you know, just let us know and we can figure that out. And, but I really think that Dan and that office, PDSD at the city is going to be your best resource. I mean, don't you agree?
I agree. I saw that there was a meeting scheduled for the 23rd and I was thinking of attending that. There's a city meeting. Is that right, Dan?
I'm not sure.
Misread that?
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm definitely happy. We're happy to collaborate on this and kind of talk through some of the things we went through when we were coming into conformance with this, with the state law, because I believe that the county one that has gone through is actually quite similar to what was passed for the cities. So, yeah, we're happy to follow up and have a further conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate the assistance from everyone.
Mm-hmm. And if things are getting hot and heavy before our next full commission meeting, I would suggest talking to Desiree. If you need to do a short update or need feedback from us, you could go through PRS. I mean, PRS has been crazy this summer, but I think that's important enough. And hopefully you agree, Desiree, that, you know, if there's something that needs to be discussed, we could do it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Desiree.
Yeah, great. Okay. All right. Anything else?
I just wanted to mention, you probably already know that there was an update from the Arizona Preservation Foundation for a couple of victories that, one, that the State Historic Preservation Office was saved from the immediate shutdown crisis, that state funding was identified in the event that federal monies were not going to be released. But then a couple of days later, it turned out that federal monies were released for federal fiscal year 25-26. So at least in the immediate future, that is great news for State Historic Preservation Office and Tribal Historic Preservation Office. And also, there was the funding identified for the State Parks Heritage Fund. So I just wanted to mention that. And also, Scott O'Mac may have an update on his projects.
Hey, Scott.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to update everyone a little bit on one project in particular, Teatro Carmen. The rehabilitation of the old theater in the Barrio Histórico that everyone is probably familiar with. As some of you know, phase one, which was the restoration of the original facade of the theater and of the adjacent Black Elks Lodge, that was completed last year and went on to win a governor's award earlier this year. And then phase two of the project, which is now restoration or replacement of the roof of the original theater. That's been ongoing since February. It's quite the project. I don't know if you've been by there, but the beautiful facade that was restored is now supported by metal structures to keep it from falling down as the original roof is taken off. The roof has been completely removed, and new trusses are now in place, and a lot of the decking is up. It's pretty impressive to go look at if you have a chance to go down there. Also, at the back of the theater, as part of the same project, the stage house of the theater is being reconstructed. It had been removed many years ago, and it was kind of a guess what the actual appearance of it was until a photograph of it was found from the 1930s that showed a good part of it. So that the reconstruction has been faithful in form, at least, materials. It's actually concrete block to actually withstand the height and volume of that stage house, which is pretty impressive. The stage or phase two, the roof reconstruction, will be completed sometime next month. I'm not sure the exact date that's projected, but a tremendous amount of work has been done. And hopefully Herb Stratford, who's been in charge of the project, will provide tours to people, commission members, certainly, if they're curious about what the new reconstructed roof looks like from the inside. So, and that's about it.
Great. Thank you, Scott. I just wanted to mention that Herb has been in touch with me and Desiree about a courtesy review for the ticket booth and one other small thing. And I asked him if the county should be involved in that courtesy review, and he said that the funding didn't come from the city, but, you know, certainly I'm sure you're welcome to be at that meeting, coordinate, you know, find out. It hasn't been scheduled yet for PRS, correct, Desiree? And that'll be sometime in August.
Yeah, we're looking at August 28th right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see her pretty regularly, so I'll probably hear it from him as well. So.
Yeah, and I just thought that he might want to mention it to you. I brought that up to him.
Thank you.
It's very exciting. And any questions for Scott? I'm looking to see if hands are raised. I don't see any hands are raised, but it's kind of awkward for me to look at both pages. So if I miss you, just speak up, shout loudly or softly. All right, thank you. Anything else from the county?
Nope, nope. That's it. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, 7C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua on the call today or on the meeting for update? Okay, so no update from him. Okay, item D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, DTM. Is Patrick Hartley on board? Okay. Carlos, did you want to say anything here or say it later under your committee, subcommittee report?
No, actually, no, not much to say today.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to item 8, which is commission subcommittee and other committee, council, commission status reports. So 8A is plans review subcommittee. Desiree mentioned some things already. Did you want to say anything else, Desiree?
I don't think I have anything else to add. We've just been very busy, so I thank PRS for all of their work.
Okay, thank you. Item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard is not here, so there will be no report on that unless he's joined, and I don't see him. I don't think he has. Okay, item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. We have Commissioner Grady here.
Thank you, Terry. So the Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on June 6th, and the primary role, element or the primary item on that meeting was the review of the Barrio Historico draft guidelines for the landscape section. And so there's been quite a bit of work that we've done to recommend additions, edits, and such. And in that process, we've come up with what we feel is a pretty strong template moving forward with guidelines for other HPZs and specifically for streetscape and landscape. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was for Historic Landscape Subcommittee members. We had tentatively talked about meeting this Thursday, but that meeting will not be happening. And the meeting that we are planning at this time is for Thursday, July 31st, and we're planning on a 10 a.m. Meeting time. So please put that on your calendar. There's also an email that was sent out. Ken, did you have a question?
Yes, and Terry, I wanted to see if this is appropriate place or maybe a later place. I've been doing a lot of things with El Presidio Neighborhood, and there's a lot of controversy about the landscape design around that. And I'm just trying to get some clarification of what was approved versus what the neighborhood they thought was approved. So there seems to be a lot going on. So I don't know if, Steve, you'd want to take a approach to that now, or is there another venue within the meeting that would be more appropriate?
I think that this is probably a time. It was reviewed for recommendations or discussion with the Historic Landscape Subcommittee, and I forget what meeting, but that was quite some time ago. And what has been installed seems to be different than what we had discussed.
Figure out how this happened. I was at two neighborhood meetings, and they're just like, how did this happen?
So most of what was discussed at that time is the nature of its temporary nature. And we did quite a bit of discussion about the sunsetting of this and giving dates and specificity as to how that happens. And because it didn't come back through us, I don't know the ultimate status of that, but I'll bet that, it's before Desiree's time. Yes.
I was just going to add to it as far as being temporary, and all the work seems to be very industrial of nature and not anything that would sort of be a play on some other kind of lighting or some other thing in the district, and that they jackhammered the sidewalk and poured new footings and put those in there like they're going to be in there for a long time. So there's elements of this, and it's also on Washington. There are elements of that you're going to need another jackhammer if you ever want to have them removed. And I don't know how they were trying to be careful with the very old adobe walls of Old Town Artisans. So they were jackhammering away and all of that. So I don't know if anything got monitored, but there needs to be some communication work about what happened and what was picked and why.
Yeah, well, could I just add, Ken, this, I think that you're referring to that project where the city got a grant to do some wayfinding or refreshing of the neighborhood, and that came to plans review, and I know that that's probably what you're referring to, Steve, that it went to Historic Landscapes. So that they had nothing to do with design guidelines in the neighborhood, because as far as I know, but Desiree may have other information, they, I don't know if they're working on revising their design guidelines or not. But anyway, the point is that I think that, that it would be beneficial, Steve, for you and Desiree to talk, because that was a very big concern, that project with plans review and also with Historic Landscapes, because it sort of bled over into more permanent things, and it was promised that it would be, you know, reversible, temporary, and things like that. So, so anyway, Helen, do you have a comment directly on this? Let's move quickly because we have a lot to do.
Yes. Okay, so this was a Rio Nuevo project, and it was designed to be a temporary project, and part of it might be a good idea at this point to go back and look at the minutes from our review, because at that time we specifically asked them not to install anything on a permanent basis, and as Steve said, there was definitely a sunset date when it would be reevaluated. And I don't know, Terry, is this something that we should handle with Historic Landscapes, or is it something that should go to plans review?
Well, I think that it would be best, because I recall, I think we need to look at those minutes from HLS and from PRS from those meetings, and it was at least a year ago, I don't know, Andrew, you might remember, or Savannah, but at PRS, but we would have had the notes from HLS at that time. We would have recommended, you know, that they go to HLS. So I think if you guys could do the investigation and then let Desiree and myself know in terms of PRS what needs to be done, because it could go in a bad direction if it's not sunset. And it sounds like they made, you know.
It's already in a bad direction. And what I'm trying to find and what the neighborhood's asking for, we saw certain sketches and designs of what was being proposed. And I want to see, can we see what those sketches were? And what did the plans review, not plans review, what did the landscape subcommittee see? So that we can see and compare what we were showing versus the industrial permanent situation that seems to be, and some other appliances, about lack of a better word, that just metal industrial structures that are looking like they're going to be a shade device or something, but it's just really bad.
Yeah. Well, I suggest that that if you need help, Steve, looking at things, that you guys look into that, and then let's coordinate on this and see where we can go with it. And Savannah, do you have a recollection from that last year?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I remember we didn't see finalized plans, and we had asked for them to come back with, I think, final colors, some of those final decisions, and I don't recall getting that follow-up. So it'd be worthwhile to look into.
Yeah, and so who knows what happened, but I think we need to do some investigation that we're unable to do while we're on this meeting.
Right. Savannah, real quick question. Have you walked by there? I'm from Old Town Artisans on Tellez.
I work on on Franklin and Court, so I've seen it go up.
Way of asking, what do you think?
I have a lot of concerns. I had mentioned during the reviews too, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we had extensive concerns about that whole thing. So, Desiree, if you could initially work with Steve, or if I can help any of the PRS members, let us know, okay?
And I've been a go-between the commission and the neighborhood, and if you could keep me in the loop or anything I can do to, mm-hmm. work on this also.
Okay, thanks. Good. All right, thank you very much. Anything else, Steve?
Nothing else. Thank you. Terry, we don't hear you.
We have no sound.
I think we lost her. I don't see her. One second.
Maybe she's in a better place.
Let me try to get a hold of her. Okay, it'll just be a minute. I just called her. She's going to dial in. I don't know what happened.
For those that are looking into the El Presidio item, I dropped the LAR in there. That has minutes from Historic Landscapes and from PRS on both of the motions.
Thank you. I see it.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, hold on. Let me get on speaker. Hold on. I'm very sorry about that. That's never happened in recent memory, so I'll continue to try to get on. But, okay, I recall I was saying I've got 1236 that I rejoined. That, let's see, Historic Landscape Subcommittee, were you finished, Steve?
Yes, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Item 8D then is Historic Landscape, Transportation Subcommittee, Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. Actually, I have no report. Everything's calmed down, and transportation is not meeting in July. Also, my flight is starting to board. Would you guys still have a quorum if I left?
Hey, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to keep trying to get a few more bags for the Dallas flight.
I have no report, and I'm leaving at 12:36.
Final destination baggage claim. If you don't want to have
Thanks a lot.
With trying to find over.
Safe travels.
Wow, crazy day today, huh? Okay, item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, the commission had a shorter than usual meeting this month on the 10th, mostly centered around a discussion, really deep diving into topics related to homelessness and developing a curriculum for their commission, kind of planning out the next four sessions of discussion, including report outs and action plans within selected focus areas, including prevention, housing, options, and services. So really trying to, I think, develop a scope for their commission with regards to that topic. So that's about it.
Great. Any questions? Thank you, Savannah. Item 8F is Budget Subcommittee. I wanted to say that the city's budget year, the city and county's budget year that ended on June 30th, we had a mad scramble to the finish line. But I have to really thank Carla and all the staff over at BCC and also Courtney and your folks over on the county's end. And as far as I know, and Carla can correct me if I'm wrong, everything got expended, and also funds coming in from the county will be coming in for the upcoming fiscal year. Do you agree, Carla?
I agree.
Yeah,
everything
and,
went well.
Yeah, and we're with this new process with the city accounting and so forth. We're just going to have to adjust our expenditures and our process to like do everything even earlier than we had thought we needed to do it. So it was a great accomplishment, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right. Yeah, and item 8G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Lamb.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Majewski. So as part of this committee's efforts to provide training opportunities, the commission has secured a National Alliance of Preservation Commissions, that's NAPC, membership. And that membership includes all commissioners, boards and staff. And so I would just say if you are a city or county staff member and would like to be included on that list, membership list, which we will, Chair Majewski and I will be submitting to the NAPC, please send Chair Majewski or myself an email. And then I also want to recommend an incredible training opportunity that they're offering this summer. It's called the Virtual Summer Short Course, and it is possible to earn 9 AIA or AICP CE credits. You can join live or watch later on demand. This is August 20th through 21st, and this year's topics are understanding and updating local preservation ordinances, community outreach strategies, tough cases, applying the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation, setting preservation priorities, what's essential and where can you be flexible, conservation districts, easements, and other preservation tools, and best practices for meeting procedures, COAs, and staff reports. The committee are in the process of confirming all of our memberships, which, like I said, will include commissioners, Tucson Pima County staff and boards with the NAPC. So when we have completed that, which will probably happen next week, we will send an email around with more details about all of this. But I want to really encourage all commissioners to actively engage with this incredible resource. There's many resources that are always available on their website. So it's whenever it's convenient for you, as well as some very special opportunities that they offer, like this summer short course and in-person opportunities as well. And great. That's it, unless there's any questions. So,
well, yeah, JJ, I want to comment. So JJ and I have been in touch about this just since yesterday, I think. Mm-hmm. So Desmond, I'll be contacting you because in the past we had all of the advisory board information, but it's likely changed. So I'll talk to you about that at some point. But if, you know, we'll have the usual city and county staff that we know of, but I know you're getting new people, Desiree, so we have to have a plan to add other people because this is one of our budget expenditures, this membership with NAPC, and we got a huge blanket coverage for not just commissioners but for advisory boards and for staff. And we didn't do a training. We didn't put in a budget for training like we had last year. Remember when we had mandatory training? Well, we'll have sort of mandatory training again, but it will be a certain number of these webinars that are offered free. And then we also put in funding for for speakers to come and talk about, there'll be the deconstruction speakers, correct, JJ?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's, I think everyone's going to definitely not want to miss any of our speakers. We have two lined up right now. And I want to thank Citizen Advisor Riho Haas for all her work on this portion of the trainings. But it's an incredibly interesting topic, and there's so many ways to approach it. So I'm just going to say you won't want to miss any of these.
Right. And when we get closer to those deconstruction talks coming out, we'll send some notes on deconstruction that have been taken already as part of Pima Prosper's working group meetings. So
yes,
there's been a lot of activity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Chairman Juski, I just want to recognize both Citizen Advisor Riojas and Commissioner Kubish for taking notes. And these are being really well organized. You know, just almost as we speak, and they'll be being sent out to everyone as well. It's a lot of great information.
Yeah, it's just so they've been super active, and we'll hear a little bit more about this when we do the Pima Prosper's sunsetting later on in the agenda. Okay, anything else, JJ?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, item 8, H is the event subcommittee. We have been meeting regularly for a long time, but especially this summer because the event is coming up very soon on the Saturday right after the birthday, correct? I think, yeah. And so hopefully we can have some volunteers to help with that. So if you're willing to attend, it will be the evening of that Saturday. Sort of the hub for it will be the Presidio, but it will also extend on all the streets near the Presidio all the way to the Tucson Museum of Art. And so in addition to working closely with the Presidio, Tucson Museum of Art has been very involved as well, and they are having an event with the opening of the time capsule that was buried 50 years ago on the actual birthday, which is the 20th, and I'll be sending out some more information on that. I had talked to Mauro and Ken about coming up with some ideas, on what we might want to put in the time capsule on behalf of the commission, but you can also email me with ideas and I can pass them on tomorrow and Ken, very soon so that we can, you know, and I'll also send you an invite for that when we, and that's listed on that Tucson 250 plus website that you received an email. You can get on that link. You've received that email several times with that link. So I really recommend it to see all the hard work that's been put into this. And let's see. So it's going to be a huge event with lots of VIPs there, lots of different types of entertainment, food opportunities, you know, on a much bigger scale because it's the 250th anniversary of the founding of the Presidio. So anyway, that's quite the event. So, okay. Yes, who's that?
No, this is Ken. I had my hand up. Several questions.
Okay, I can't see you, obviously, because I'm on the phone. What would you like to ask?
I know you have a lot of special skills, but probably not that one. Be able to see or not. But anyway, I guess one thing that I want to preface, I've been doing some research on the time capsule because Morrow told me, I don't remember me getting a notice, but I'm happy to be involved with this. And I guess I want to just say this as a general statement. I wish planning, and maybe I'm too much of an historian, there are so many things that I'm discovering that we needed to align with. One was done 50 years ago. Probably one of the most surprising ones is, did you know we had a bicentennial baby? And a big article in the paper about her, and her name is Leah Claudine Davis, and she'll celebrate her 50th birthday on August 20th, 2025. I just was digging around. I'm going to try and track her down and invite her. And then there's so many things about that, a lot of trouble. Can you imagine humans not being able to reach a good conclusion? That they were fighting over what should go in the time capsule. And this was a big debate on all of this. So I wish people would dig a little bit more of what was done 50 years ago. But I just think I had no idea that it was a bicentennial baby. And there's all these other things. And probably what all the planners do not want to hear is they plan to celebrate for the whole year spinning into the 250th birthday, 250 today of the bicentennial or semi-quincennial. I don't know what that is term now, but they did a whole nother year. I know that's the last thing anybody wants to do, but I would like to have a few things going on. And they had one other thing. They had a huge debate about our birthday and they did not agree with Hugo O'Connor's comments about when the soldiers came up from Tubac. So they fought about that for a week and a half. And so it's just really interesting, all the things that they were struggling with. But I think just the bicentennial baby, I'm hoping she's still around. And I'm going to personally invite her to show up because that was one of their hopes. And then the last thing I'll tell you, which I'll get in the weeds a little bit, they were going to make it 100 years from now to open the time capsule. And they all decided, we want some people to be alive that remembered the 200. So we ought to try and track down, and I'll try and do a little of this, make sure we have people that are there to show up for the 250 if it were there for the 200. And the last thing is the time capsule was the last event of the big ones that they did, and that was actually on December 11th of 1976. So that was the last event, but they did specify that August 20th of this year is when we're supposed to open the capsule. So lots of interest, and that's just the skeleton outline of all the things that were done that we maybe can still have a little time to align with, but I will take this on of trying to track people down that were there for the time capsule 50 years ago.
I tell you what, Ken, let's you and Mauro and I try to connect next week. If you could both have my email, so send me some times when you meet briefly, and we can see brainstorm about some ideas. I think that would be the best thing. And thank you for those things. I think there's ways that we can get some of this information definitely out. Okay?
This is Commissioner Lamb.
Okay.
Very interesting, Ken. I'll just mention, since we're talking about bicentennial, Arizona also had a bicentennial band. I was a member. There were people from universities, ASU, you know, NAU, and U of A, and we flew back and marched in the Washington, D.C. parade and the Philadelphia parade.
Wonderful. What instrument?
Clarinet.
Oh, good. Oh.
Nice.
Get some of those people to show up for, a couple of men to do a personal invitation for those people.
Jack Lee was the band director. If anybody knows him, he was very intense. It was a lot of fun.
Yes,
that sounds good. Okay, any other comments, or shall I move on? Okay, item 8I is the Preservation Award Subcommittee, and the members of that subcommittee are Ken and Commissioner Kubisch. We will be meeting sometime. We probably have to have a brief meeting sometime in August. I know that Commissioner Kubisch, she may not be available then, but I will coordinate with the first thing we need to do is give them some dates for the fall when, because Ian Milliken from the county has offered to help us, book the old courthouse for our event. So, that would be just our first step. We don't have to do anything else except figure out what dates work for, let's say, October seems like a nice coolish month. Cooler month, right?
Maybe.
So anyway, that's my report on that. Okay, let me move on here. Okay, item J is Pima County Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group, which we established last time. And Helen, I believe that you and JJ are the co-chairs of that. And I forgot to list you two, but I'm listing you now.
Okay. First of all, it shouldn't just be Pima County. It's Tucson, Pima County, Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group.
I have that in the motion. I'll fix that.
Okay. JJ, should I take the first stab at this and then you can follow up?
No, so, you go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. So we are meeting, let me get the calendar here, next week on the 24th, independently with Courtney and with Desiree to try to come up with an agenda for our first meeting, which will be held on the 30th. So I will personally take responsibility, Terry, for getting you that agenda on the evening of the 24th so we can get it processed. We want to make sure that we attack this in some kind of organized way. So this is why we're having these independent meetings with Desiree and Courtney before we have the first working group meeting.
Okay, that seems good. So you and, let's see. So you and Helen, the two of you are meeting on the 24th with Desiree and Courtney, and then you'll get me an agenda to post, and then the 30th is the first meeting. And will we have that on Teams or Zoom?
We'll probably have it on Zoom. If I do, I will probably end up doing the agenda, so I'll use my Zoom.
Okay, sounds good. And, so if you will have enough time to get it posted, so I may have a comment or question for you after you get that, but we can talk that evening of the 24th if we have, if I have questions.
Right.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks. We're going.
Yeah.
AJ, did you have other comments on that? I mean.
No, I think you did a great job of, covering the basics and, our goals. I think this is going to be another really active and impactful working committee.
I think so, too, and thanks for getting it underway. So any questions for Helen or JJ? Okay. Let's move on to item 9, City of Tucson Silver Bell Road Widening Project. Dan, do you have an update for us?
We don't have any updates on that at this time.
Okay. Item 10 is ASM Permitting and Policy Updates. Courtney, do you have anything since Ian's on vacation?
Just a brief update on this, that the Arizona State Museum sent out a notice on July 2nd that reported that they had, I believe, 3 in-person public meetings, and they also received letters and emails in response to the notice of intent to increase rates and fees. Pima County sent a letter to ASM and made some suggestions, and other entities did as well. Obviously, Scott Omack and I were able to attend one of the in-person meetings and made comments at that meeting. And so the Arizona State Museum did make substantial comments to all of our requests or suggestions. And there is a public link that I can send the commission if you want to have that as well. I'm not sure who else received this notice. So if you would like that, I can send that. And then Ian Milliken will have more to update next month probably.
Yeah, please do, Courtney, send that to mm-hmm. Carla, and she can distribute that link if people want to find out more information.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Any questions on that? Okay. Item 11 is update on City of Tucson and Pima County preservation programs and processes. 11A is City of Tucson. Let me just ask a general question of Courtney and Desiree. Should we just include this as a bullet under your regular reports so that we don't have these duplicated, potentially duplicative items?
Desiree might have a comment on this also, but I'm thinking that's a good idea. I know that Ian Milliken will probably have an update on Pima County's programs at some point in the very near future. And I know that Desiree also has a lot of updates, current updates and in the future. So maybe Desiree could weigh in on that too, if this could just be maybe just stay on here for a couple more months or
okay.
However you prefer.
Okay, Desiree, what are your thoughts?
I'm fine with that. In general, I think, you know, I kind of include it in my, I can include it in my staff report. So I can go either way. But I think it makes sense to consolidate at some point.
I'll just say keep on for now, and then we can, don't you think?
Yes, maybe ask us next month.
Right, when Ian's back.
Right.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Does anyone have, Desiree, do you have anything else, or Courtney? Just
sure, I can go first. And I won't go into all of it, but we are looking, reassessing, you know, our application requirements, information we have available on our website, FAQs. I'm looking forward to working with the policies and procedures working group. I think there's a lot of ideas. I know also some of our advisory boards have, you know, brought items to our attention. So Fort Lowell Advisory Board, for example, has started including a standing item on their calendar for process improvement. So I think it's something that everyone really recognizes we need, and I'm looking forward to working with everyone on improving our applicant experience.
Great, thank you. So, Courtney, do you want to say anything under 11B or just leave it for Ian next month?
Yeah, let's just leave it for Ian next month. And likewise, I am looking forward to working with Desiree and the Policies and Procedures Working Group.
Excellent. Perfect, thank you. Item 12 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Ken, do you have anything for this?
I guess my ongoing saga with the Atkins property in Fort Lowell. And, you know, I met with Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator Lesher, oh, I guess a month and a half ago, and she was going to try and get it a little bit more active. I know, I guess they've been looking at a land exchange and some other things, but I'm going to have to drive over there today. We finally had a big rain and see if another corner's collapsed or whatever, but it needs some emergency repairs. And I know Fort Lowell's been concerned. This seems to be my dirty laundry day. Fort Lowell's been concerned that so much was spent on the museum, which is a reconstruction of an officer's quarters, and there could have been maybe some less expenditures on that building because there's so many other things. The last summer kitchen, it's over with the existing officer's quarters on the west side of Craycroft. It's eroding away, and that's the last of the actual real kitchens that we have. It's just exposed adobe now. But the Atkins properties had one corner collapse, the other corner propped up. And I'm meeting with everybody saying, surely there's some money to do some emergency repairs. And so I'll just, you know, I'll write obituary for the Atkins building in the paper when it goes down. But hopefully we get something done.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Before we move on to item 13 with Dan, I want to be sure, how are we looking for a quorum, Carla? We still have 14?
Yes, I counted 14, so we're still good.
Okay. I may try to get back on the meeting, but let's go ahead with this requested summary of the middle housing code changes and City of Tucson. We have Dan to present to us.
Great. Thank you, Terry, and thank you, everyone, for having us here to present on the middle housing. I'm just going to share my screen real quickly. Okay, great. So middle housing, this is a code amendment. We kind of gave you a brief overview at the last meeting, and wanted to come back and give you kind of an update on some of the public outreach we've done, as well as some of the feedback we've received from our mayor and council and from the public, and kind of what some of those next steps are. So, just to remind you, this is a code amendment that has us coming into compliance with state law for House Bill 2721. We've had a couple mayor and council study sessions. Originally, it was started off in April 22nd at a study session with mayor and council, where they told us to kind of look at not only coming into compliance with the minimum requirements of House Bill 2721, which we need to do by January 1st, 2026, but also look at some additional items and then present that to the public. Look at things like maybe adding in some flexible design development standards, looking at a wider geography, whether it's, you know, certain areas of the city or maybe even citywide. Looking at design standards for landscaping and pedestrian circulation. As you'll see in the presentation, we don't currently have landscape standards for like one-off single family homes. We only do so when we do it with subdivisions. So if you allow for four units, on one single family lot, generally we used to have landscape standards. This would require us to have the same standards for a single family home as like a fourplex. So we have to kind of reconcile those two things. And then look at potential for a phased approach. So look at something we can do that's kind of smaller in geography and then maybe look at, how we can expand that later. So we did, quite a bit of public outreach back in May. We held two public meetings, or three public meetings. There was one in person and two virtual. There were 127 people that showed up to those, and a really good conversation. It was a pretty broad mix of different people. There were residents, businesses, housing advocates, design professionals that were there. And really, the general sentiment was really for more flexibility and a larger geographic area and citywide options. And I'll share that with you. We did also have an online comment form, which we had open through the end of June, where we received 234 comments from people. So we've gotten a really pretty good amount of feedback on this so far. And we're hoping to kind of continue that. Even though we have a short period of time, we're hoping to do more outreach, as I'll talk a little bit more about in August. There we go. So really the public feedback, we kind of focus on three different things. One is the how. So should we just do minimum changes for this, or should we add in some flexibility? There's benefits to potentially both. Looking at the why, so applying it to, should we apply it to a minimum area, downtown area plus quarters or citywide? We did get feedback that says largest possible area, so we're looking at kind of how that might work. And then really, there, what are the priorities related to appearance of the buildings and site characteristics for that? So this is some of the feedback we did receive. So this is for dimensional standards and whether we just keep the standards exactly the same as they are currently or we add in some flexibility. The majority of people really preferred the additional flexibility. There was some desire to move quickly due to housing needs, but then there were also some people that kind of wanted us to kind of just, you know, be cautious in how we move forward. And support for a phased approach to how to do this. Part of the reason why we saw, I think, the feedback that we did with the flexibility is that as you start to allow for more units on a site, if you don't have that design flexibility, I think there, you know, there's a concern that there's more of a tendency to potentially demolish the building on site and just redevelop versus allowing for some flexibility so you can actually fit those additional units on site. And that's kind of some of the feedback that we've received related to this and how that might work. These are kind of the options that we provided for geographies. There's lots of them here. We looked at basically 1 mile buffer options that followed major streets, that met the minimum, of what a downtown area was for middle housing. We wanted to keep the neighborhoods intact. So when you have that just 1 mile buffer, a lot of times they were right down the middle of a parcel, right down the middle of a neighborhood. And then we looked at areas where middle housing already exists, and it exists in a lot of places in the city. You see a lot of duplexes and triplexes, really along the kind of north-south corridor of where we were looking. And then we also looked at vacant lots and where there is the possibility for, redevelopment and infill, for that. When we presented this to the public, pretty much the largest minimum geography was preferred. And that, if you look on this screen here, it's this Tucson Norte Sur and then over to Country Club is what was preferred. It obviously was split a bit between all the different areas. These on the right-hand side are generally the ones that are larger for that. And then we also asked a question about, you know, how this should apply. Should we apply this to just that geography, or should we apply it to corridors? Should we apply it citywide? And 76% said citywide. And we had a similar kind of feedback that we received in our online comment form. A lot of how this conversation went was pretty interesting because I think it was related to displacement. And there was concern about concentrating development on just that minimum geography in the barrios downtown. And by allowing for a larger area, you potentially kind of disperse that potential development, potential for development throughout the city and hopefully help with some of those development pressures that could create. It was a really robust conversation and really interesting. But that's kind of how the results of some of our feedback, at least so far, for this. We also, asked about design priorities related to this. And I think there was really general agreement about providing some sort of landscaping and ground cover, and then also accessibility standards. There are already accessibility standards that are built into our requirements, but making sure there's connections to sidewalks, making sure that we don't have a whole bunch of, it says driveways here, but that there aren't a bunch of just driveways that are causing issues related to pedestrian circulation. And so we'll be looking at how to kind of balance going from no standards for a single family home to what we have for commercial standards as we move forward with that. There were a handful of other things that kind of came up in our discussions as well. One was protections for historic status and historic structures and HPCs, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. There were ways to guarantee or promote affordability. There's no requirements in here that we have to do any sort of affordability. In fact, it actually kind of says you can't do that. So in general, these smaller units are more affordable, and generally are for, people of, you know, 80 to 120% AMI, but not necessarily, straight up like capital A affordable housing, for this. Concerns about impact on infrastructure. There was support for an ownership model. The way it's drafted, it's really this, and even, you know, our work with the community corridors tool, a lot of it focuses on kind of rentals and the rental model and how do we make this so it actually supports an ownership model as well. Condos are very challenging to do in the city, or in the state. So how do we kind of balance that to allow for opportunities for ownership? Because that's a way for people to really build equity and really build wealth for themselves, as they move forward. And then there were split opinions on whether to phase this in. There were some people who wanted to do citywide right away. There are other people that kind of felt that we should kind of phase it in over time. We did, because obviously this is the Historic Commission, wanted to talk a little bit about historic zones. There were a couple provisions in here that kind of gave us a little pause, related to this, especially related to our historic preservation zones. First one was, in House Bill 2721, discourage the development of middle housing through requirements or actions that individually or cumulatively make it impractical, the permitting, siting, or construction of middle housing. And then the second one was restrict middle housing types to less than two floors. And when you start to look at development zones and things of that sort, there's the potential for limiting it to less than two stories in some of our HPZs. However, we've been working with our city attorneys, talking to other municipalities, and really related to this, the way we are interpreting is this is that while it does say limit it to two stories, we're interpreting it broad enough to allow the application of prevailing development standards in historic zones, including height. So we don't really think this is going to have an impact on that. I know City of Phoenix was having had concerns about this as well. But because it applies to the principal structure as well as a four unit, it actually has the same standards. And really the baseline zone does allow for two stories. It's just more of a kind of compatibility standard that does tend to fit within this. So we don't really see any issues moving forward related to historic preservation zones and continuing NPZ and HPZ reviews for this, which is really good. And we're kind of happy about that. I was concerned about some of those provisions, and this is good. I think, you know, a good thing. So just kind of going over this, you know, middle housing is already an allowed use in a lot of historic zones. You'll see a lot of our historic zones either already have middle housing that was built before the zoning code came in, but a lot of them already are, you know, R2 and R3. Those are zones that already do allow for this type of housing. So it shouldn't have, we don't believe it's going to have a huge, huge impact on that. As I mentioned, those historic preservation protections remain. And really allowing for more middle housing can lead to less development pressures that hopefully will lead to potentially less demolition, for this. And then again, just looking at a larger area, hopefully it kind of releases some of that pressure of development pressure if we were to only look at 1 mile from downtown for this. So we went to mayor and council about a month ago with these results. And basically they told us to kind of move forward with the feedback that we have. And start to develop a proposal and then bring that proposal back to the public. First one was looking at the larger geographic area. They had told us to look at the Norte Sur Country Club option, to start with that. So we're going to develop a proposal that has that. Apply changes to the zoning code that adds this flexibility within that geography. For that. So we're trying to find that balance based on the feedback we received. And then use a phased approach. So we're going to look at this geography and then just in a sense, think about how this might be applied, either applied citywide at a later date, through other efforts that we're doing. We are applying a few citywide options that are basically required by the state bill. First one is allow middle housing of 3 to 4 units to use the International Residential Code. So previously it would have to use the ICC, which is the commercial code versus the residential code. It requires us to do that. And then we will raise the threshold for development packages to allow for projects up to 4 units to not have to use do a development package, so they wouldn't have to do commercial standards. Should allow for make it easier to develop smaller scale multifamily housing. We will have to change the definition of household size to align with the bill. Household size is basically one or more people just living. So we'll have to make some adjustments to that. We are looking at developing those design standards for all single family homes, which will be a pretty big change in the city of Tucson. And then we are looking to create a middle housing model plan library. So we have a $7 million pro housing grant from HUD to work on technical assistance as well as code changes. And one of the things that we have in our proposal there is to create a model plan library for these middle housing types. So to hopefully help with better design and also reduce the barriers to this development type within the city, as we don't really see a lot of it occurring. Some of our next steps. So right now, you know, this month, last month, we're kind of working on analysis and developing our code amendment. We're working with the Drachman Institute, who is going to do some analysis on the dimensional standards. So we kind of understand, you know, where is that sweet spot? And then we're looking in August to come back to the public, share a proposed code amendment, and really get feedback from everyone on where we're at with that. From that, we really need to move pretty quickly because we have to have this done by the end of the year. We'll have planning commission review with a public hearing and recommendation, and then hopefully get it to mayor and council in November or December, for their review and potential adoption. So that is kind of where we're at with middle housing. I think that's my last slide. And Ken, I see you have your hand up. I'm happy to answer any questions.
And Dan, I'm back. So go ahead, Ken, but I'll call on great. Any other people with questions. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. I'm a little unclear. Does the city have the flexibility within these state requirements to pick areas that are obviously vacant land or other places where infill really could be very beneficial, or does it have to be so many units in each square mile? Does the city able to, like Miracle Mile has a lot of vacant land that has the transportation, public transportation, and all the things that would be supportive of this, and do you have that opportunity?
We do to a certain extent. So the state bill 2721 says we have to allow for middle housing within a mile of an already established downtown area or central business district. We don't have a specific downtown area already kind of designated. We have a lot of things similar. So we have to have, at the very least, within a mile of the downtown area, we have to have that geography. Outside of that, we could apply this to any other specific area that we think it makes sense to do so. And so that's what we were kind of looking at, and how we could, you know, extend it a little bit into areas that it makes sense. I mean, part of it was looking at that Norte Sur corridor, and that, you know, there is a lot of opportunity as you move north up towards Tucson Mall. And so that's kind of what we were trying to do, because we wanted to at least, you know, do the minimum for the bill, but then find the more appropriate area. So that is kind of what we're trying to do with this. It was quite an exercise. I mean, we had all these maps up in the room and going around trying to figure out what makes sense looking at, you know, 20, 30 different layers. It was interesting.
I really feel, and just from a historical perspective, Stone is going to be the major density corridor because of the amenities and the things that are already in there. Want to save the historic buildings that have been identified that Bob Vint did, but that just seems to be the logical higher density corridor for Tucson.
Yeah, and I think the scale works really well for bus rapid transit, and the old Adobe buildings that are along there are really cool.
And light rail would work well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you, Ken. Go ahead, Helen.
Thank you. First of all, I have a question. I have 3 points here. Okay, so the first question is, how will this be regulated? In other words, are design standards going to be developed first? Are they going to be something like the conservation zones? I mean, how is that going to work, Dan?
Yeah, so it would be we would create the standards for the design, for whatever those design regulations are, and then they would be reviewed when people bring their plans in. So it needs to be something, because it is a pretty large geography. And they don't allow for us to do any discretionary processes for these. So it needs to be something that's simple enough to where, just a single homeowner knows kind of how to comply and something that we can review for. But that's how we would do so. And then it would be obviously inspected for to make sure that they're complying with it as they build it.
Is there a possibility there of reference to a development zone or anything like that that would tend to preserve the character of a neighborhood?
I think it might be challenging as you get to a larger geography, but I do think there needs to be flexibility in there to allow for it to fit contextually. So we are looking at different options and how that might work. It's been pretty challenging trying to figure this one out, but we need to get to some sort of sweet spot to where it fits into those areas and really becomes, it benefits the areas around it instead of becoming a problem for those.
Right. Exactly. Second point is question of landscaping, because I think it's very important that we talk about xeric landscaping rather than native plants. And that is a big concern for me because, again, traditional landscaping here that does involve xeric plants are not necessarily native plants.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
would be losing a lot of heritage plants if you restrict it to that point. So I would not want to see that happen. The third thing is ownership, because, again, I think this is a problem we've had in a lot of our central city districts, that these have become rental units, and it has really degraded the character of the community. So how are we going to deal with that?
It's hard. I've been kind of racking my brain on this because the way they crafted the bill, they basically say you can have 4 units on every lot. And the way you really can get at a better ownership model is actually reducing the lot size to allow for, you can maybe have four small units on one lot. But then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Once you've split that, then you have 4 more units on it and it multiplies. And so we're trying to figure this out, and our condo liability laws in the state make it really hard to condoize, especially at a small scale like that. And so we're working through it. I think it's going to be a combination of lot size and density, in order to kind of promote the more of an ownership model. Cause I think that's one of the gaps in a lot of the code changes that we've made recently, is that we need rental units in the city. Rents are very high. They've gone up over 100% in the last, 9 years, but we also need to provide an affordable ownership model for people. And that's something we are really kind of paying attention to, and hopefully we'll be able to get at.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ken, real briefly, because we need to move on.
Sure. Dan, the other thought that would help, especially for promoting ownership, and if this, maybe somebody could lobby the state legislature, a financing package that if you were a first-time buyer, we give you a reduced mortgage rate, less qualifications, less money down, that would be a major incentive to have infill and close-in, and that you're obviously on a bus line or eventually light rail and those things. But that would be the thing. Somebody maybe in the city or lobbyist to go back and say, well, we're going to do this, but help us with a financial package for home ownership.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And we've worked with the IDA in the past and different organizations, but any way that we can help with financial stuff, because that's like the whole other part of it. You can change the code, but if finance doesn't work, So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone. I just have one comment, Dan. This has been really informational. Thanks. I was thinking about your schedule slide when it was up. I think we would like to hear about, you're continuing to do analysis and figure out how to make code changes. When would be a good time to report back to us so we had kind of a feel for what code changes were, so that we could make, if we wanted to do a support letter or a comment letter, what do you think? Like, would that be August, September?
Yeah, I think August, September. I think as we start to develop this, my feeling is that we can come back in August, and give you some, at least preliminary. If we don't have a proposal by then, we can kind of let you know where we're going. So you can provide that feedback to us early enough so it can be incorporated.
Okay. Well, what I can do is just put information, you know, like a 5-minute update and keep this item on the agenda. And then, if we need to, you know, cause I think we're really concerned and would like to see these code changes, you know, a little bit deeper discussion of them. Does that work for everyone? I see some nodding heads and, nothing from the circles with initials. So, okay. Carla, did you have something?
Just really quick. I know, Commissioner Grady needs to leave right now for his class. And then I just got a message from Commissioner McDonald. She's going to have to leave for 5 minutes and then she'll let us know. Right now we have quorum of 14. So without
that
them,
takes us to 12.
So,
we're still good.
Yeah, we're still good. So just.
Okay. Steve, are you leaving now at 1:27?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Okay. We'll keep moving here. Thank you. Thank you, Carla. And keep me posted on this. So,
yes, we'll keep an eye out.
Thanks so much, Dan, and for this great feedback from Helen and Ken. Okay, item 14 is Pima Prosper's update. And as you recall, we did the same for the working group that was working on Plan Tucson, right? So that we're doing the same thing again because Pima Prosper's working group had their last meeting, and that's why we'll be approving the LAR/minutes. But let's move through this quickly. Commissioner Lamb, do you want to do an update? And then maybe we could, if Carla, you're okay with this, we can have a joint motion to approve the LAR minutes and sunset the group because they're kind of related. Does that work for you if we do that?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, just so we don't have to do, I don't want to lose the quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I really want to thank all of the commissioner staff and guests and our presenters. This was a really active working group. We met weekly for, I think, over 2 months. That's a great commitment. We did a deep dive into investigating deconstruction and the circular economy. We had special guest speakers from San Antonio, Seattle, Portland, and Boulder. This work is leading to additional training opportunities for the commission. So we look forward to that. And the working group's work informed and was incorporated into the text submitted by staff to the Pima Prosper's draft plan. So I just want to recognize Commissioner Kubisch, Commissioner Scoville, Pima County staff members, Ian Milliken, Courtney Rose, Mark Holden, Commissioner Erickson, Commissioner Christopher, and Citizen Advisor Riojas. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah, and I have to second what JJ said, and thanks so much to the county for, particularly Courtney, for pushing it, you know, for just being there with us and lots of time spent. And I know that, you know, it just was a great thing, and it was just like Plan Tucson Working Group was a great model. And thanks, everyone, for the heavy lifting on this. So if it's all right with you, JJ, I will entertain a motion to approve the LAR/minutes of the June 23rd, 2025 Pima Prosper's Working Group and to sunset the Pima Prosper's Working Group. So do I have a motion to that effect?
Helen,
okay, so you'll move that?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, and who will second?
I second that
motion.
This is Courtney. I'll second.
Okay, I think, Julie, you were first.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for others stepping up, too. So is there any discussion on this motion? Does everyone understand why we have to do it? Because since there won't be another meeting of the group, they can't approve their last LAR. So now we're sunsetting it together with that package. So, okay, let's go ahead and call roll, please.
Okay. Alice and Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Yes, aye.
Savannah McDonald?
I apologize. I just got back from taking my dog out, and I don't know what we're voting on, so I'll have to pass.
Yeah. Terry Majewski?
Aye.
All right, motion passes 12 to 0.
So, 12
to 1,
you.
I'm sorry.
12 to 1. So,
yes.
Savannah, we were just doing item 14. So, but thank you for coming back. Okay, item 15 is Commissioner Summary of Current Events. I just want to start by saying that I will send out an email reminding everyone of the 250-plus celebration events in August. And if anyone would like to volunteer who isn't already on the event subcommittee, which is very small, please let me know so I can, you know, we could probably use some volunteers at the welcome table. We certainly could use your attendance because this will be a huge event. So anyway, are there others who have a current event they'd like to share?
Oh, this is JJ. I would like to share some great news. The Oldvale Post Office, related to that, we've been notified by the National Trust for Historic Preservation that we'll be receiving a grant. It's related to preserving interiors of historic buildings,
right.
And that is to restore the interior mud plaster. And so we're also going to take this opportunity to do a workshop. It'll be a small workshop, but there'll be an opportunity for about 4 young historic preservationists to get some experience with this really vanishing skill of applying mud plaster. And it'll be filmed, and then that film will be a continuing resource. So we're pretty excited about that.
Great.
JJ, quick question. Can old historians maybe be involved with this a little bit?
Oh.
I at least like to attend.
Like come out and watch?
Yeah, I have nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do it too, but I'll have to just watch. Yeah, you know what? I'll bring that up. Yeah, Eric's going to be leading it. Eric Means. So I'll definitely bring that up. You know, he's great.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other current events that anyone wants to share? Okay, if not, I have one more thing to mention that I forgot to mention. Commissioner Steer has resigned from the commission, and this is related to his upcoming retirement very soon from his position as Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Tohono O'odham Nation. So I think next month I will bring up that I'd like to send a letter from the commission to him to thank him for his service. I don't know if many of you know, but several years ago, he received the commission's highest award for his work in historic preservation and with the tribes and so on. And, it's been increasingly difficult for him to attend meetings because of, you know, the demands on his time. I had a comment from the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Pasquayaki, who said that in 1 week he gets 90 consultation requests. So these people they're just overworked, super busy, don't always have a lot of help on their staff, and I think we should commend him for his efforts, so I will do that next time. But I just wanted to let you know why Peter wasn't on and won't be on. So any other things to share?
Well, this is Ken. One thing that I might be concerned about, and I don't know if there's some way the commission or somehow to support more staffing, because since the beautiful bill passed, there's going to be a tremendous amount of impact on the borders with Native people and Mexico and all this wall construction that we need as much pushback as possible.
Well, as Courtney said, some of the funding is coming back to TIPOs, and there are, you know, I watch the Tribal Historic, it's the National Association of Tribal Historic Preservation Officers newsletter. I'm happy to send that to people if they want, or send it to Carla to share that link if you want to sign up for the newsletter. But, you know, hopefully we can, you know, there's some ways more to talk about this in the future to get updates and so on. So, good question. All right. Because we don't want to turn that summary of current events into a discussion item, so I'm trying not to do that. All right. Item 16 is call to the audience. Were any comments received by the posted deadline, Perla?
No comments were received.
Thank you. Okay. Item 17 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought? Oh, Helen?
Yes. I'm trying to raise my hand. It doesn't seem to work very well. Okay.
Which item?
Okay, this is thoughts on inclusivity.
Okay, you can do that then. Perfect.
Okay. I would like to propose that we actively begin the development of a new narrative for American history, a narrative of people who came together to make a better world. This new narrative should celebrate our beginnings, the emancipation of all men and women, the inclusive efforts of the New Deal, the welcoming of new immigrants from across the globe, and the collaborative building of our local communities. The myths of the pilgrims and the cowboy no longer represent our goals or our dreams. And this new narrative should not ignore the failures and injustices committed along the way, but instead will ensure that that knowledge will guide us towards a better future in which all Americans will share. And I think we actually have been sort of activating this concept through the commission, but we haven't really stated it. And I'm wondering if we've reached the point where we actually need to create our narrative that in some ways will make it unnecessary to talk about thoughts on inclusivity, that this could be the result of thoughts on inclusivity. And anyway, I'm throwing that out there.
Okay. Ellen, could you email me what you just said, because you were clearly reading from something?
Yes, I was trying to waste time.
No, and we can talk about how we could implement this. I mean, we did start this several years ago, and I think it shows in some of the ways we've approached. If you look at what was formerly known as the birthday celebration in August, that is morphed considerably away from what it was 10 years ago or even less. And, you know, a different focus, refocus, instead of on, you know, only the European history of Tucson, to a much fuller history. And, you know, I think a lot of the efforts that you all did when Ken and others did all that research in the archives at the Historical Society shows about people's efforts. And it's all very cumulative. So it would be nice to figure out how we could do more on that, I think. So thank you for that. It's very, very well put.
One quick comment. I think next year in the 250th of our country is a great opportunity to start working more on that, and especially within the education community, which is my major background. But there's so many opportunities to get that message out, because obviously there's a different message being formulated and structured that's going to be a threat to all of this.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think what Helen brought up in the need for this, and the way that certain things are going in our community and in the county, shows that we're still moving toward these things.
Right.
We're not adopting the other narrative. And I think other communities across the country don't have that, the ability to do the same thing. Right? Other communities in the States.
Sorry. Yeah. Ken Burns said something wonderful about this. He said, the best arguments in the world won't change a single person's point of view. The only thing that can do that is a good story. Good stories are a kind of benevolent Trojan horse. you let them in, they add complication, allowing you to understand that sometimes a thing and its opposite are true at the same time. And I think that's what we've sort of accepted in the commission, that we are opening ourselves to multiple viewpoints that come into conflict and hopefully a positive resolution.
Yeah, and one thing real interesting, and I'll wrap this up, is that when number of years ago there was a controversy about using the flags at what was then the birthday celebration, I had a comment from a Tucson city council person who said, well, that particular flag only flew over Tucson for 75 days. Let's just say that it didn't. And I said, no can do. 'Cause that's, you know, you don't mess with history. And, you know, I've repeated that comment in different ways, at multiple, August celebrations that, you know, we should celebrate everything that happened and how we've overcome it. You know, so, I mean, I think it's amazing. Yeah. So, anyway, great discussion. We'll figure out how to incorporate this in the commission's work. Helen, you guys are going to have your hands full with, the Tucson Pima County Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group. Boy, that's a tongue twister.
But Terry, yeah. I think we can, if we look at the decisions we've made and the projects we've supported, we already have a lot of the pieces in place to start this.
Yeah, maybe we change the name of item 17. Let's think about that as we proceed through the rest of the months of this year so that we can start reflecting on those matters, be particularly helpful for newer commissioners who, weren't involved in those activities. So, but anyway, we're going to have to wrap up here. Item 18 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. Our next meeting will be August 13th. And I will need those agenda items by no later than August 1st. It'll be a really busy month next month. So let's all think about that. And I appreciate it. And I'm sorry about my weird, exit from the meeting. And that's why it's good that we have the dial in. So anyway, we'll go ahead and be adjourned at 1:44 PM. And Carl, if you could stay on for just a second. That would be great. Yes. And I concur with Mauro. Great message, Helen. And I thank you all. Nodding. Yeah. Bye bye.